Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is the podcast we do at Midwinter Entertainment. I'm joined by two lovely people. Who are you people?
I'm Mary.
Mary, what do you do here?
I'm a producer at Midwinter.
Okay.
For Scavengers.
And who are you, Miss?
I'm Audrey, and I am also a producer here for Scavengers.
And I don't think I've ever called you Miss, so I apologize.
No, yeah, that was a first. It was a lot of emotions running through my mind, but it was a beautiful moment.
I won't do it again. Let's talk about game producing, producing games, what you both do here. What's a day-to-day, typical day look like for you, Audrey?
A typical day is hard to define. Every day is different. It's a lot of finding out what's the most important thing, what are our priorities, chasing those down, making sure the team knows what that is, aligning the team, having conversations to make sure that we're all on the same page. And then Mary and I kind of, we have our schedule of meetings to check in with the teams, and then we sort of split the work up between us two of like, all right, here's, you go make sure that we're testing the game, we're finding out what the issues are, we're following up and getting those fixed, and then maintaining relationships with partners that we work with, and, you know, it's a pretty wide variety of work that we do.
Yeah, I was originally going to say it's like people wrangling almost.
Mm-hmm. We're like shepherders.
It's like a, the shepherd. I like the shepherd thing. I've never liked the cat herder analogy for production. It always bothered me. Like when people are like, oh, I'm just herding cats. I'm like, they're our friends.
Yeah.
And I feel more like they're actually adults as well. And they can do their own, like, keep themselves in check. All we're doing is try to, like, bridge people together and actually try and make connections, get information out, and bring some order to the chaos. And so that, also there's clear goals, clear things that we're trying to accomplish together. So here, what I love so much about the production philosophy at Midwinter is that really you figure out what work you need to do to accomplish the goals, but we kind of try to also help make the goals clear and make it so that you know what you're, what we're collectively trying to go after, and stuff. But yeah.
Hey, I have a question, because when you said, you know, you both essentially do some similar things, how does that work between the two of you? Like, when you were saying you divvy things up, like, on a day-to-day basis, are you checking in all the time, and are you taking one section of, you know, production and you the next, or how's that work?
We sort of, I think we talk, we're pretty busy, but we at least check in once a day and kind of have a list of things to, like, hey, can you handle this? Can you handle this? We've had a talk about a couple things that we sort of manage. Mary obviously has a lot of experience and background in audio, so she totally runs that. And then I manage more of the UI because that's more of my background. But then there are other things where we sort of cross over because we might have different dependencies between the different teams and stuff. So it's sort of, we have a basic set of areas that we're responsible for looking after, but then every day or every week is sort of a, hey, I've got this to take care of. Can you manage this?
And right.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's pretty fluid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, Mary, you have a background in a few different games. What are some of the games you worked in the past?
Let's see. So, most recent, like, I'll start from most recent and then go back. So, I just spent 7 years at 343, so that was Halo 4 and 5, and then a lot of the development of Halo Infinite. And then before that, I was the audio director at a Sony studio called Zipper for 6 years. So I worked on Fireteam, Bravo 2, SOCOM 4, MAG. We did a Vita game, Unit 13. The Vita, I know, right?
Yeah,
no, right?
I love
dead
the
product
Vita,
of
the.
Oh, you did a game. Oh, you know what the Vita is.
Yeah. No, the Vita's amazing, but.
Yeah, so it was like a launch title for the Vita, and then we closed our doors right after that, and then that's when I ended up going to 343. But then before that, Forza 1 and 2, did a lot of the car recordings for that, and then before that, a bunch of other games like. PC games, flight simulator, like sports games.
Just
stuff
so
like that.
Many.
Well, you just stick around long enough and you can work on a lot of things. That's been my strategy.
Yeah.
Just still here.
Well, and also being pretty awesome probably at the same time.
It helps.
Well, we're happy to have you here. And you bring so much experience to the team. It's great. Audrey, this is your first thing. Right?
Yeah, pretty much. I was in school prior to this. I had an internship with another small studio, but. Spent a couple months there and then came here basically right out of school. I happened to meet Josh Holmes, our studio director at like a school internship slash career event, and right place, right time. He was great to talk to. We got along, and he was looking for someone to work in production, and I was looking for work in production.
Dude. So,
and
pretty
it's
cool.
been a dream ever since.
Yeah. How a special meeting that was just on random, too. Mm-hmm. So that can happen to you people who are listening here at home. but that does bring me to a question for people who are listening. They want to be a game producer. Say they want to get into this idea of producing games. What's the best path? Or is there a best path? Or is it just random like you just told me?
I don't know. Maybe Mary has a story of how she has seen it happen, and maybe it's...
Yeah, I mean, like, so I think actually it's a question I ask people a lot when they're maybe interviewing for a production position. I always say, why production? Because, and how? Why and then how? Because there are a lot of paths in. Like, I think more than any other kind of area of games, there are a lot of paths in to production that have become fairly typical. So a lot of people come from QA and test, maybe become a test lead, and then end up branching into production. There are a whole bunch of people who come from being a creative or being a developer, and that's where I come from. That's my background is as an audio director. I did my own production and all my own scheduling and coordinating, and then I also did the creative direction. So that was kind of my bridging period in my career. And you'll find some people come from. Go straight from engineering into sort of like more project management and stuff. So there are a lot of paths in, and I think it's just people just kind of gravitate towards it and then switch to it. There are also some programs that teach production, like Audrey's going straight into production, though also does some of the creative. There are definitely some programs that there are people coming out of school that are studying production and just going straight into production. But,
right. Seems like there's a lot of doors.
There are a lot of doors, yeah.
And also just in the industry itself, it seems like that way. You know, it's almost like you have to put your mindset and like, I'm going to work in the world of games and just not kind of solidify how you're going there, but just start doing something, whether that's a tester, whatever that is. But I think if you put your mind to it, that's almost like a bigger, grander visualization thing, right?
Yeah.
Hey, just go into the world of games. Well, there's a lot of ways to go in there.
Yeah, I mean, networking is obviously a huge part of it, just meeting people. And if you're passionate about it, like, this industry loves passion.
Yeah.
And studying a craft. Like, I think you have to marry all that with, like, some form of craftsmanship. So, like you want to go into games, study engineering, study art, study game design, study production, study something. You can always branch into other things, but you need the gateway, and I think the gateway is, I think it's really important to have some sort of, or marketing or community. Like, there's a ton of different things, and by study, it doesn't always have to be a specific mode or type of school or whatever, but the craft. I think it's important to go after a craft as well.
Yeah, you can't just be like, you know what, I think today I'm gonna be a fireman.
Yeah, exactly.
It's super helpful too if you have experience on any part of the game, like be it the development side or the marketing side or what have you, like knowing what the team is going through and what it takes to make a game outside of just the planning and production mindset makes you a lot more capable of being on the ground floor with your team and listening to them when they say, I need this much time to do this work, and you can kind of understand where they're coming from.
Right.
I think that's so important. There's like this developer-first mentality that I think is really, personally, my philosophy is that's really important. It's not important to everyone, but I love what you just said because I think that's really important, and it makes you kind of put structures and other things in place that are really more about making the best game and really developer mindset like that kind of mindset.
Yeah, thinking about the people who are working on this and tirelessly.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. It's it takes a lot of work to get a game done.
Yeah.
So,
and people will see some of that in a little bit of a video series I've started. So, look forward to that. Hey, let's get some community questions. There's a few here. You are not allowed to see them. They, by the way, just so everybody knows, you're peeking earlier.
Yes, we didn't really see anything. We just were like, sorry. Oh, what's that?
It's okay.
Yeah, we didn't know.
The first one's kind of what we've already talked about, which is asked from Hayden, what's the hardest challenge when making a game in general? I mean, there's an answer there from the developer side, but there's also an answer from the producer side. So what would you say, production-wise, is like one of the more difficult things? It's a pretty big question.
Yeah, production-wise, I find one of the most difficult things is just... It's a constant maintenance of making sure you have all your ducks in a row and refreshing that. Like, you plan, and then that plan changes constantly. And keeping up with that and making sure that you're having the hard discussions that you need to and making calls where you need to is... And keeping the team in line and everyone having a clear understanding of where the project is headed, it takes a lot of work. It's like you need to keep up with that and make sure that you're always refreshing what that looks like so that the team is always on the same page. And, you know, it's like moving a boat forward. Like, everybody on the boat has to be moving in the same direction. Otherwise, the boat's going to, you know, explode if everybody's moving in different directions.
As boats do.
Yes,
as boats do.
Yeah. No, but that is kind of, yeah, speaking to that, like, talking to people and going like, hey, this is a difficult conversation, but we have to have it so that we're all on the same page or in the same boat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's like the creative process is, it involves the creative process. So you're not just some project management in the sense of like, you sort of have a list, you go down it, you schedule things out. We do schedule things out and you have to have a plan, but you also, the plan doesn't mean anything if then you don't find, you know, hit certain things like, is it fun or are people gonna stay around and play this thing? And like, there's just, it's really important to have these kind of this structure and actually clear targets, but mix that with the ability to adjust and pivot as you go and to kind of react to changing needs. And then the other thing is just, you're always building a game on a kind of it's not like when you make a movie, you can all the different like lighting and effects and audio and all that stuff, it all can just go linearly in at the end. And this is a living, breathing world, and it's a constantly shifting and changing development environment. And so I think that's one of the most unique and kind of like special things about games, but also can also have some of the challenges.
Yeah, totally. Kind of a follow-up question from Zammy is, what's the most fun part about designing and working on the game? And again, kind of in a production setting. What's fun? What's fun?
Do you want to go first on this one? Games are fun.
Games are fun.
They're difficult, but
confused on what that means.
Because they have fun.
What do you mean by that?
I think games are fun. I think making games is fun. I think it's such a cool, just because of all the same things that we said were challenges, it makes it so dynamic and fun and interesting, and it's super rewarding, and you have a huge impact on what people actually go then play and get to enjoy. But it's fun challenges. It's the kind of challenges that I will always probably want to choose.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously we play games because they're fun. So at the end of the day, the thing you're making is made almost, not always. Obviously, there are, you know, games that have a more like a lesson they're trying to teach, but ultimately you're having fun with games. And then the thing that like excites me the most is seeing a group of people, like an artist, a tech artist, an animator, a programmer, and a designer all standing around talking. And you know, you get a variety of different groupings, and they're all talking about how to make some cool feature by applying all of their skills and knowledge together. Mm-hmm. And it's this like interesting synergy. There are other industries where you get a lot of cross-discipline work, but I find that in games it's a really strong feature of the industry that you're like taking a pool of different talents to combine and make one thing. And it's just fascinating, a fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah, there's similar, like what you brought up, movies, it's kind of, there's some similarities there because people are coming in from all different things. It's different timing, schedule-wise. Do you mean like this, a movie got done from all those different pieces put together? Mm-hmm. So I'm the same way. I see people collaborating and going, wow, that's just really awesome to watch the creation process and the collaboration process.
Yeah.
This one is kind of specific. I don't know if we can answer it, but it's from Lightning. You know, in general.
Yeah.
It just
the
struck.
The sky has spoken.
Just lightning, yes. Yeah.
It's a cuckooge, and I translated to this.
Oh, I didn't know you spoke lightning.
I do speak lightning. And not Spanish. What different levels does one go through on making an asset like a weapon playable?
Yeah. Like, I'm assuming that means, like, stages of creation. Like,
yeah,
from
I guess
idea
so.
For a weapon. So, brief version would be, so... we have an idea for a weapon.
we get it concepted. Like, so we get a concept artist to draw it up. Like, here's what it would look like. Then there's 3D modeling where you model the weapon, and then then there's like textures and materials and different things. But that once it becomes an actual usable asset, then it goes in the game, and then you can use it and fire it. And that's done by like the weapon designer. So there's just different. And then the weapon designer tunes it. Did I miss anything?
Oh,
the effects and audio. So it's got to make sound. The effects, like the muzzle flash and all the other things that go along with the effects on the weapon. And then it has to be animated into the player. Like,
and when
the player can move with the weapon.
And when you make one change to the said weapon, it changes how the character holds it, and you have to go back to animation.
Absolutely. Yep.
What makes a great multiplayer game? I mean, that's kind of a big, big question. Who knows,
yeah,
right?
It depends what kind of multiplayer game.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
like,
that's
is it
too true.
Couch co-op or online?
That it's fun and that people love it and they want to keep playing it.
I guess at a very basic level, people like connecting with other people and playing with other people, be it in a competitive or cooperative nature. I think, like, we're all lonely little bits of stardust wandering through this world, and the chance to be with other people is always something we look forward to. So,
wow, that's very nice.
Yeah,
and then we all yell at each other.
That's it.
It's like mic drop, but in this case, you have to like throw your tiny baby mic.
Unclip.
It's cool. You should still do it.
What type of genres are you striving for with Scavengers? That's kind of also broad. What are the other ideas that almost made it into development? Well, I don't know how much we can say about that.
Yeah, I mean, the game has changed a lot from when I first started. Obviously, that's the nature of games. But yeah, I'm not sure what we can say about original ideas and how much was out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can say that there'll just be so many more even ahead of us, because it's kind of maybe is a good opportunity to touch on the fact that this team, because it's also a small team, is really fast at iterating, and a lot of the way ideas play out, or the ideas we kind of explore them, how they're explored, is just by putting them in the game and seeing how it works, and then either adjusting or adapting and kind of using that real like on-screen test and to explore ideas. And so that's kind of like, we could give you some from the last few weeks, and then there'll be more in the next few weeks,
right,
and then kind of thing. And so I think that's, I don't know, anyway, I don't think we can get into the specifics, but we can say lots, and then lots more to come.
Yeah.
I can give you one goofy one that maybe you'll have to get rid of this, but...
Oh, good, go ahead.
You used to be able to pick up rocks and throw them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Let's
that's
bring
true.
That
we can
back.
Say, we can say some of those things.
Some
rocks,
of those little basic things, yeah.
Rocks.
I know, when I think about it, I'm like,
that's really cool.
Rocks.
Yeah.
You would
hashtag
just, like,
throw the rock.
Underhand
the
lob them.
Yeah.
Dude, hashtag throw the rock.
I'm going to go make a sign and put it up and be like, come on, bring back the rocks. Bring back
this is going to be the most listened to part of the podcast now, is hashtag throw the rock.
Yeah.
also,
we're not talking about the rock, Dwayne Johnson.
No, we're not talking about Dwayne Johnson. By the way, this I do know, too. Oh, this will get some people really fired up if I say it. I'm going to say it, and then we'll decide if I should have said it. You used to be able to throw bait to the bears and make them your friend. French told me.
There was an ability where you would press the ability button, and a piece of meat would launch out, and then a bear would come out from it or something like that.
I think
that.
And he would be defending you.
And his name was Jelly Bean.
Jelly Bean the
Jelly
bear.
Yeah.
So, because everybody in the community wants to tame a bear, like a ton of them. So
I know.
There
so
was
we'll
something
have to do something with
the
bear.
The
only
bear.
Thing that was weird was you would summon Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean would fight for you. And then at the end, you're like, hey, we're getting hungry.
Oh, you'd have to kill Jelly
You ate Jelly Bean?
Yeah. Oh, not me. Of course.
No, you did.
I'll never tell.
Oh, that's so
wow,
sad.
This podcast has made a turn.
Then you have to throw a rock at his head and then eat him.
Oh, hashtag throw the rock.
Sorry, we were supposed to. No, Audrey's going to cry. I'm sorry.
I'm going to cry.
I love bears. I love bears.
Hashtag throw the rock, hashtag tame the bear at the same time.
Yeah,
and
no,
then
I mean, if you put them together, it's no wonder those features aren't in the game anymore.
Oh,
they're
here's
dangerous. Poor Jelly Bean.
We're doing the last three questions. We got to get out of here. This is making me depressed.
Jelly Bean, though.
These are fun questions, okay? How much do people at Midwinter play other games? Are you gamed out at the end of the day? Me, personally, I play every game. I'm never gamed out, but I'm not working on it nonstop like a lot of developers here are. For you guys, the same thing. Play a ton of games still.
Audrey plays more.
Yeah, I play games. I'm a little bit behind on some of the games that have come out in the last year or so that I've been wanting to play, and it's like every time I'm like, oh great, I got a new game, then it's like three new ones are out. I can't even keep up. There are so many good games that come out that it's like,
yeah,
it's hard to stay fully on top of things, but I game regularly. It's like a part of, to me, especially as someone who's studied game design, like I need to keep up with what's going on in the industry and what we've learned over time, so that when I make, you know, designs or things like that, that I have informed perspectives.
Right. And looking at final products, right? Like you've seen what they did right and what they did wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it.
The industry is changing really fast too. And it's just really, really cool to see games evolving. And so I think it always needs to be part. It's always got to be, it's part of what it brought everybody into games, but it's also part of something that you need to do.
Yeah. It's the industry.
Yeah. And people here play a lot of games. Like you get a varying level, but there are plenty of people that play games with each other during lunch.
Oh, during lunch, yeah,
Destiny matches, or we've done some where, like, you know, 15 of us have bought a game and jumped in, and so.
Yeah, so games happen here. We play games. All right, here's a fun question. What type of coffee do you all enjoy?
Ooh.
I like the, this is going to be totally a, can I say a plug?
Yes.
I know. I'm about to do an infomercial for my coffee machine, so you might as well.
I love, there's a local coffee maker near me called Broadcast Coffee Maker, and they make this, I think it's called, it's not Breaker 9, I'm forgetting the name of the specific one. It's their, like, house blend, and it's jam and chocolate flavory kind of stuff going on, and it is amazing, and they're all really nice. So.
And you're up in, what part of Seattle are you in?
I'm kind of near the Central District, Lushai area.
So if you're out here and you live out here, take that consideration. Mary?
I live out in the woods with the bears. I don't throw
with
any
the bears.
Rocks.
You don't throw rocks. You don't eat the bears.
And I wake up really early, and I love the coffee time of day so much, and I have, like, a Nespresso machine.
Oh, right.
I have those little guys, the, like, super darkest kind, and I put some, I steam some soy milk, I put it in, I enjoy it thoroughly, do it two times, that's it.
We all drink a lot of coffee here, I think.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
it's a
I think Seattle's still the coffee capital of the world.
Oh, right.
Or not world,
you
but
could go validate
country.
That fact, do some fact validation.
Yeah, yeah, I'll use Google.
Nice.
That's all the questions I have for today. There's definitely more coming in all the time. We want to thank our community for the questions, and keep bringing them to us via Twitter or Discord or wherever you find us on the internet. Audrey, Mary, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll see you next time. Hashtag throw the rock.
Thanks for being an awesome community.
Man, thank you, community. You're awesome. Bye.
Ciao.